It's Monday, 5:30 p.m. You know what that means, people. Talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show will begin momentarily. The whole squad is together. Derek decided to bless us with his presence today. Thank you, Derek.
You're all welcome. Yeah.
We really appreciate you being here.
Decided to give you all a little love.
Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
I hope your
anytime.
Well, week off last week was great.
Yeah. I mean, I had a weekend off. Yeah. Good time.
There you go.
Good family time. Yeah.
Before we start the show, as always, we want to thank some of our sponsors. Talking Bell Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Downtown Chico Business Association, supporting Downtown Chico of over 40 years. The DCBA welcomes the 33rd annual Taste of Chico on Sunday, September 23rd from noon to 4 p.m. There will be dozens of artists, live music, over 150 food and drink booths, and the Coors Light Beer Garden with Mojo Green. For tickets and information, you can visit them at downtownchico.com. Most importantly, people, we want to thank you, the listener, for putting up with us for an hour, spending an hour of your evening listening to the nonsense that we have going on here. We had a big football weekend. We had a big fight. We have a lot of stuff to get into. I had a big fight, a lot of stuff to get into.
We're not talking about the Canelo Triple G either.
Yep. So let's go ahead and start the show, people. All right.
Yes.
It's a good way to start.
That's awesome.
There we go. Now let's start the show, people.
We're talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice, man.
All right, this is Talk About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. The guys are already arguing about college football, which we haven't even opened the show with yet. But we'll get there, so that'll be fun. I'm your host, Joe Gilbert. Alongside me, as always, my partner in crime, the bearded bandito, Derek Sumaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
Alongside us as well, John Lucan, a.k.a. Sonny Slim. John, what's happening?
What it do?
And then, of course, we got the man with the stats, the man with the facts, stat man Brad.
Yeah! Okay! It's like let's go.
It's like you start off so well, but then you just let us down the entire time. Like, that intro is so good.
Yeah.
Do not fulfill it.
Yeah.
Throughout the rest of the show.
You know what? I feel like some stats today actually might help today.
It's not the stats, man. It's not the stats going to help you. It's just, it's you.
Wow.
It's great. No, it's fantastic.
Is it the face or is it like the way I talk?
I don't know. It's something about your face. I just want to.
It's a little bit of the face, the force of the red beard.
If you could change that, that would be.
Okay, so you have
that'd be great.
The Packers. No. The Packers, okay.
Yeah. It's a whole get up. Right. I'm just saying.
Okay. Yeah.
You're great. You know what? Brad,
hey,
you're awesome.
I start off really well.
You do.
So that's good.
Yes.
Maybe you should set the expectations lower with your intro.
Yeah.
But I actually kind of like it.
I love the intro. I do.
Yeah.
It's great. You've hold on to it. You've done it for like. No. You've done it for a few weeks now. Maybe a month. You're good.
It's been good. It's been solid.
All right.
I just had to bring the hate a little bit. You know?
Everything else, though.
It's been a while.
We need you to work on.
Yeah, it's been a while
don't
since.
Don't hate the player, hate the game. Come on, y'all.
Yeah. Hate the tie.
God.
And there he goes.
All right.
Just dropping it.
Yeah. Here we go.
Moving on. Like I said, we got a big show. A lot of football to get to. John, can you tell them what's on the rundown today?
Yeah, I can. NFL Week 2 in the books, everyone. So much fun. Football in full swing. Raiders, ironically, could use a pass rush as Gruden goes 0-2. The 49ers get their first win of the season.
Hey.
Congrats to the 49ers. Jimmy G still looks questionable.
Yes.
Whoa.
Steelers, for being steel, are completely falling apart. They're rusted. I don't know. I was trying to.
You should have that one. You should have gone with Rusty, right?
Brad, why'd you give me that? Josh Gordon is riding high on the way to New England. Yeah, that was for you, Derek.
Nah.
Vontae Davis gives an Irish goodbye, calls it quits with 121 and a half games played.
It's another Derek move right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the famous Derek. We're out late. I'm no longer with you guys.
Where'd he go?
Rough week to be a place kicker.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
The unemployment line.
We should get rid of field goals altogether, but we'll get to that.
Jarreau needs to apologize for being really, really wrong about KK.
Yep. His name is actually KC. Cousins.
Okay.
Oh. Wow. Okay. Well,
that changes a lot of things now.
I was the worst type of wrong too, because I was loud wrong.
So not only does he need to apologize for being wrong, he also needs to apologize for being illiterate. Okay. Jarreau, not only the person who thinks we should eliminate kickers from football.
Yep.
Okay.
I have some support.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I'm looking forward to that.
Is it Eli's time to hang it up, guys? Maybe. We'll get to that. What's happened to the Pac-12 in college football? They used to be great.
Trash, never.
I don't know where they're at now. We're going to move on to some betting and look into the futures, followed up by some North State updates. News, we get to hear from the best part of our show and our like correspondent. And then we're going to talk a little foot and mouth in the show. A little foot and mouth.
Wow.
Really foot and mouth.
Real soft.
Tantalize the people with your that voice right there.
All right, well, let's get into it. So all you Raiders fans out there that...
$10 million.
John Gruden signed a $100 million contract in the offseason for 10 years. He's making, that breaks down to $10 million a year, people.
That's where my 10 came from, guys.
Yes. I was just trying to give some context because by itself, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So to all you Raiders fans out there, I'm sorry your season has started off so rough. I actually like the Raiders, just some of your fans, man, just... Dial it back a little bit, would you? Last year, you guys were very vocal about being Super Bowl contenders, and you finished with the same record as the Niners, who I believe started off the season 0-8. So there's that. And your coach, you're the highest paid head coach in the NFL, as far as we know, because we don't know what Bill Belichick's contract actually is, because they are now a private entity, the NFL is, so they don't have to post that anymore. But Gruden, by all accounts, is the highest paid coach in the NFL. Granted, it's only two games in, and the Raiders start off 0-2 against, and they played this past weekend against your Denver Broncos, John.
Yeah, it was a great game.
Case Keenum
for MVP. Let's go.
Let's relax.
Yeah, it's a little rough, but still, Case Keenum, man.
Got it done.
That's rough, Raider fans. That's
got
rough.
It done.
He did.
After starting off very slow, the Broncos were shut out in the first half, I believe. Is that correct?
Three.
Oh, okay, they did get a field goal. And then came back and won.
Dominated the second half.
I mean, they only led at one point in time.
Right.
At the last second.
That
was their first time leading the game, correct? When they ended the game.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, you saw the momentum shifting throughout the entire game after the second half. Oakland just wasn't moving the ball like they had in the first half. I don't know if it was to play calling or just misexecution. I mean, let's be honest. The game would have been over on 4th and inches at the very end. It was, 2 minutes left in the game. Raiders had it on 4th and inches. And had a great play call, a play action rollout to kind of dump off in the flat to their fullback, and he just dropped it. So lucky break in favor for me and the Denver Broncos. But I think beyond that, it just speaks to the volumes of Khalil Mack leaving.
Sure,
you saw all game there was no pass rush whatsoever. There was no. Even the rushing game for the Broncos, which is not known to be by any means great these last few years, we're just running at will on them. With two rookies, keep in mind, it's funny to see this coming back in the Raiders' face. Me being a Denver Bronco fan, it's funny to see this come back in the Raiders' face. John Gruden, after week one, after losing to the Rams, went on record to say that they need to get more pass rush going, ironically. After week two, he says we need to get more rush on the quarterback, maybe hire some more blitzing for our offense. Maybe don't let go of the best pass rusher in football, John. Maybe one of those is right up his alley. I don't know why no one is saying it to him in his press conference. They're afraid that he's going to come to life as a doll and murder his entire family. Wow. I don't know what it is, but it's funny to see this completely unfolding because you know this was going to happen. I mean, Khalil Mack, he's if not the best defensive player, but a top five player in the entire NFL. You pay the man, and you wouldn't be having these problems at 0-2.
Also, shout out to NBC for playing Return of the Mac after Khalil Mack returned the interception for a touchdown last week on Sunday Night Football. That was excellent. So salute to you guys for that. Yeah, the Raiders been struggling for sure, but it's early. 88% of teams, however, that start off 0-2 have missed the playoffs, so the Raiders really need to step it up, especially when you have a team like the Kansas City Chiefs just firing on all cylinders right now with their very impressive rookie quarterback. That division is going to be tough.
He's no longer a rookie, but yeah.
I'm sorry, you're right, but yes.
Second year. First year starting. But
yes, thank you, thank you. Yeah. You're absolutely right. He is a sophomore.
Mahomes, man.
Yeah,
nice.
Hall of Fame.
I was honestly thinking let's take the Jimmy Christ Garoppolo away because it's now the Patrick Messiah Mahomes.
Mm.
No,
that's a stretch.
Okay, well,
Messiah Mahomes.
Did Brad write that one for you?
Yeah, I'm Messiah.
Yeah, you did, Brad. But I thought it was good.
Hey, I appreciate the.
So Patrick Mahomes, in his first two starts, throws for 10 TDs. That's more than any other quarterback in the history of the league. He's off to a fantastic start. I know this wasn't on the rundown. I just want to talk about it real briefly because he's been so impressive. And he has immediately silenced all the doubters that were saying, what is Andy Reid doing, getting rid of Alex Smith? As a lifelong Niners fan, I saw, 7-8 years of Alex Smith. And he's a limited quarterback. He's going to drive you crazy. He doesn't often make the big mistake. And that's because he doesn't often take any risks pushing the ball down the field. And when he does, he's usually sailing the ball about 10 yards in front of the receiver on a go route. And that's why Colin Kaepernick ultimately ended up taking his job in San Francisco. That is why Patrick Mahomes, similar situation in his second year, ends up taking Alex Smith starting QB position and really silencing a lot of doubters. There are going to be some hiccups. There's got to be. I mean, he's a young starting quarterback. He sounds like Ed Orgeron when he talks, mixed with Kermit the Frog, which was really jarring to me when I heard his post-game interview. But he looks great. The Chiefs look great. And they are going to be a problem. The AFC West is going to be really tough. And if the Raiders don't jump on the ball here quick, man, they are going to be left behind.
I mean, they're pretty much where they are, I feel.
You think?
Yeah. It's early, man.
I know it's early, but
you
still
think for that division. So we have the Chargers, the Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders. You think they finished last?
Yeah. The Chargers actually look pretty decent out there. Like, as much as the Chargers are terrible out there, when it comes to, performing, Phillip Rivers still has got some good weapons out there. And did we just go?
There we go.
There it is.
Don't touch your mic again for the rest of the show. Thank you.
Will do. I'm trying to bring it a little bit closer to me.
Damn it,
right.
Brad.
You're good. No worries.
Y'all jinx me.
This is why we can't have nice things, Brad.
Yes. Let's keep it pushing. My San Francisco 49ers get the win against the Lions. They made it look as difficult as they possibly could there towards the end. Jimmy G had a really tough interception that would have put the Lions at the 5-yard line with about a minute and a half left or so, down only 3. Thankfully, there's a holding call away from the play, and the Niners end up getting that win. Garoppolo has looked pretty shaky the last couple of weeks in this new offense. I don't think it's time to hit the panic button yet, but this is not a great sign if you are a Niners fan and your franchise just paid him all that money in the offseason to be their franchise starting quarterback. But again, it's early. It's no need to freak out just yet. But I can feel it coming. So The Niners do eke out that victory. I don't have much else to say about it.
To me, watching that game, he's kind of Tony Romo-esque. I feel like he's great in-game situation. Down the stretch, fourth quarter, when you really need him, he's throwing those picks. He's making a boneheaded decision. I don't know. My verdict's still out on Garoppolo. I mean, I know you guys are completely invested as Niner fans, but I don't know, man.
Also, shout out to my boy Font, who he loves jerseys. He's a big jersey guy. He got a Garoppolo jersey, and I had to tell him, just relax, brother. We don't know yet.
That was a big stretch, yeah.
Just let's all calm down, okay? We'll see. We'll see. The Niners have a fairly favorable schedule. That's just touchy. You're just going to have to keep playing with it until, yep, there we go.
All right, I'm sorry you're getting near it.
It's all good. Here, take it off of the power cord. We'll just do some, yep, there you go. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, and
my
we're
gosh,
good.
That was so hard.
All right, problem solved. Moving on. What's up with the Steelers?
Ugh.
Man, you got a guy named Big Ben leading you, that's why.
Antonio Brown.
I mean, threw for 450
still,
yards.
Because he threw like 6,000 times. Yeah. He's going to get up there, you know? I'm just saying.
If you guys saw the tweet, someone came at Antonio Brown and basically said, if it went for Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown would be a nobody. And he said, cool, trade me then. They've already had some issues that we've talked about with their running back not reporting, still not reporting. Getting blasted by teammates for not reporting. And they're 0-1-1.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're starting running back now, isn't it? James Conner.
Yeah.
He's doing not bad. He's holding his own out there.
Yeah.
Like, but they're not winning, though.
No, exactly. But I mean,
Le'Veon Bell's only like.
That's his only saving grace right now.
But you got to think, there's got to be some sort of discord. I mean, like, there was that chatter with John Harbaugh with the Niners kind of towards the end and him resulting in leaving and going to Michigan. You kind of see this right now with Tomlin kind of losing that players coach mentality or losing that squad. I mean, the players, you know, calling out Le'Veon not wanting to come back now. And then Antonio Brown, AB goes on, you know, social media and says, you know, Le'Veon, I got your back. So that creates more discourse in the locker room. Now you have this tweet by a PR, an old PR for the Steelers, put this tweet out, you know, calling Antonio out and saying that the only reason he is what he is and the money that he has is because of Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah. Yeah, not because he's one of the 10 greatest wide receivers of all time, but whatever. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. It's early and winning can solve all of this. Mm-hmm. We found out after the Warriors.
Right, but after this, is Le'Veon going to come back? I mean, there's so much.
Well, depending on the signing.
There's so much toxic energy around circling this franchise right now. Why wouldn't you just, as a franchise owner, why wouldn't you just cut your losses? Why wouldn't you just try to trade Le'Veon, you have Juju Smith-Schuster, who's a rising star as a receiver. You have James Conner that's proven over two games that he can carry a workload. Maybe not.
Proven over two games?
Proven. I mean, he was last year.
He's done well in two games.
Good sample size.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, with the line that they have, you don't need a Le'Veon Bell to be that workhorse. You can put that off on, you know, a Conner or a rotation of backfield like so many other franchises do in the NFL. Yeah. I don't know. I say get rid of him.
No doubt. They have to let him go. I mean, if they can start winning, then they're all good. But he's a very valuable piece in this, you know. He's a hot commodity. They want to get something for him, you know. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You can't let him go for free.
No, you can't. But it's time to make a decision there. You don't want this to continue to plague you going into the season. I mean, this has already gone on long enough, in my opinion. It's time to make a move. Like,
I wonder what the percentage on someone starting 0-1-1 is making the playoffs. You said 88% is 0-2, but 0-1-1, 69%.
Yes, 88% of teams that have started 0-2 have missed the playoffs. So, not great there. Rough week for place kickers. Really rough week for place kickers.
Man.
A lot of your fantasy.
Rough 2 weeks for place kickers.
Yeah. And this is why I have said that we should eliminate all forms of kicking from football. I think it's stupid. It makes no sense to me. It never has. And if we had never had introduced kicking in the NFL, none of us would notice that anything was gone or missing. Kicking is stupid, and I have support. Tom Habistro, he is a guru of analytics and advanced analytics in the NBA. He was on the NBA Lockdown podcast and had this to say, and hopefully I can pod this up with no trouble. Let's find out. All right. It is giving me trouble. Great.
I've never seen it happen.
All right, this comes courtesy of the Dan Lebatard Show with Stugatz.
None of these teams go for it on 4th and inches because they're all terrified and all these tough guy coaches aren't actually brave. But this is something that perhaps you don't think about because Tom Haberstro is as angry as I've ever heard him about this.
I am out on kickers, not just in fantasy football. I'm out on kickers in the NFL at all. Get rid of them. It's insane. It's blasphemous to have these soccer players playing in an American football game where you have Khalil Mack and Aaron Rodgers battling it out for a game, and then you bring out Martin Gramatica to come out and kick the game-winning field goal. It's madness. Game 6, NBA Finals, the Warriors versus the Cavs. It's 91-88. There's 3 seconds left, and the Cavs need to score 3 points. All right, let's bring out their swimmer off the bench. He's got to swim as many meters in 3 seconds to see who's going to win this game. Ready? Go. All right, he jumps into the water, and it's great. LeBron James is watching him. Great stride by the swimmer. LeBron James jumps up. It's good. Yes. The game is over. The Cavs have won because a swimmer did something totally different than the actual game that we've been watching for the past 48 minutes.
And this has been my point and the reason I've been venting against kickers for as long as we've done the show, really. I think it's so ridiculous that these guys have nothing to do with the rest of the game, and then you trot out these tiny little guys that could not play any other position on the field besides Sebastian Janikowski, who definitely could be an inside middle linebacker. Other than that, it just seems so ridiculous to me. So instead of complaining about all the missed extra points and the missed field goals and punting, let's just get rid of it.
I know I'm all for it. I think it's kind of annoying that they have it. It's stupid that they have a guy that, you know, his one job out there is to kick field goals, and he can't even do that. It's pointless at that point.
Well, then you also have, if that goes down, you have all these games that, like, end 6-3, like, 3-0.
That's fine by me.
They'll all be ties. We're okay with ties?
Well, there would be ties.
Yeah, they would be because no one can score. They go into overtime.
Someone would score, though. Yeah,
so they score after a field goal. So we'd have ties.
I hate field goals so much, I'd prefer ties.
Really?
Yeah. I hate field goals.
You would prefer ties.
Yes. If you're telling me,
you just fell off the top 10 of my MySpace for that.
If you're telling me the end result is maybe you get one or two more ties a year.
Look, I get it. I get the stigma with kickers. I get it. But you need kickers. You need kickers.
If you eliminate
guys.
Kicking from the game, then you don't anymore. It's kind of amazing. If
okay,
you do that,
so
you know?
on fourth down, they just
go
they
for
just,
it every time.
Yeah, every single time.
Yeah.
This is we're guys, talking about punters. We're talking about.
I'm talking about. I'm talking about all kickers.
That's kicker in general. I'm
going to like a place kick where like you like hike it to the quarterback and he's got to do a punt action
because you're on the other side of the field.
Thank you.
We might actually see more scoring.
How about this? Why don't we take a little page out of European football? And let's stop changing all these rules, huh? What about that? Why don't we just keep the rules the way they are and just be happy and
because
watch
football? Because we're Americans, we need to improve things. That is why.
We also still have two old men running down a sideline carrying chains to measure first down. So,
yeah, purity.
There's a lot of antiquated ideas that football's running around with, and that's just one of them. While I'm on rants, let me apologize for one that I've gone on for the better part of the last, 3.5 years since we've been co-hosting the show with Jake, doing our own show, doing a podcast. I said last year, before we got Jimmy Garoppolo, that if the Niners were to trade for Kirk Cousins, that would be the end of my fandom right then and there. I thought Kirk Cousins is, at best, a top 25 quarterback. I don't think he's very good. I didn't think he was very good. And the first two games for the Vikings, he looks pretty awesome. So yeah. I would like to apologize because the worst type of wrong to be is loud wrong. I'm glad I didn't go back and listen to some of those shows. I only do that when I'm right, like with the Falcons, and I have that soundbite. But when I'm wrong, I don't really go searching for those shows. But I know for a fact on multiple occasions I was on these airwaves ranting about how boo-boo I thought
Kirk
Cousins
was. Well,
it helps
when you have a phenomenal defense.
Correct. And it helps when you have weapons at every position.
Yeah.
Which they do right now. They have great wide receivers.
The game, was luck. Just saying. It was luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was luck.
I would love to see.
Of ESPN analysts saying that was a great throw. It was luck.
Well, it was a miss by the defender.
Yeah, it was luck.
That's not luck. That's just a miss by the defender.
It was Cousins, wasn't it?
Cousins isn't that good.
Not luck.
I mean, he had to put it on target. He got it in between a really tight window.
Speaking of good, is the red rifle good all of a sudden?
No.
The who?
Dude, it's the Bengals, rifle? Though. It's the Bengals. The Bengals are never good.
Well, you don't know who the Red Rifle is?
I've never heard this heard this nickname for him.
Wow. What?
For Andy Dalton?
I've never heard that for him.
You
the Red
look
Rifle
like
has...
an Andy Dalton, kind of. How do you not know
look
this?
Look like a McGregor, if anything.
Okay, well, you can't claim what you think you look like.
Yeah. No, I've been told this many times in Seattle.
I tell myself that all the time.
So only in Seattle, though.
Only in Seattle?
That was weird. Yeah.
You used to live in Seattle? Or?
No, I was actually in a suit over there during the McGregor.
McGregor on
their mind. McGregor? Is that you?
So there's
no.
Context to that.
Yeah, sorry.
So you were in a McGregor costume.
No, I was in a suit.
You looked like McGregor.
Was it a shiny suit that said FU all over it?
I wish. I'll show you guys after the show, but.
Excellent. All right, well, Andy Dalton has looked really good, and the Bengals have looked really good. And, God, I would love to see Marvin Lewis get a playoff win. Just one.
No.
But it's kind of funnier.
How do you never have a playoff win in a decade, and you have, like, four different contract extensions?
Because prior to that, they didn't have a playoff appearance in a decade.
What I'm thinking, allegedly, is the owner has done some dirt for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Marvin Lewis has some pictures.
Maybe murdered someone, and Marvin Lewis
knows. He
knows
where the body is.
So this is like Urban Meyer type of thing where he knows some things about the owner?
Ooh. Yeah.
Too soon.
Yeah, too soon.
I'm okay with it, Brad. You're fine.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
That's not the ally you want to have with morality and values.
Hey, man, you're just merely going after something that's
I'm trying
true.
To compare something that you guys are doing the exact same too. Same thing, too.
I'm putting a name to it. The Bengals always do this every couple years where they get out to a hot start. They're putting up big numbers. Their defense looks okay. And then they hit the backstretch of the season, and they have a player that gets suspended, and then yada yada yada, and the snowball effect, and then Andy Dalton shows his true colors, which is
and throws six picks in a playoff game, which has happened before.
Yeah.
Which is also the reason I wasn't a big fan of Kirk Cousins. If you will remember, there's two different seasons where the season ended when they had a chance to get into the playoffs because he threw a pick. But that's neither here nor there. I am now officially apologizing to Kirk Cousins. I was wrong. Maybe you're not horrible. Speaking of horrible, Eli Manning. Let's move on.
Oh. He is horrible, but he is the best and Hall of Fame first ballot at making the most awkward faces.
Yeah, no, he's a chronic dumb face. Yeah. That's what he does. And
it's great, though. I love him for it.
He's not a good football player anymore. Yep.
Since
Ole
Miss.
Was he great or was he good?
He was good at Ole Miss.
Yeah, he was really good at Ole Miss. He was great at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And he was really good in the two playoff runs where it resulted in a Super Bowl. And other than that, he's been pretty average if you look at the numbers. Let's thank our sponsors one more time. If you forgot what this is, what this nonsense is that you're listening to, this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Thank you for staying with us this evening. We are made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by C&A Cleaning Service. servicing Chico, Paradise, Durham, and Oroville since 1989. Bonded and insured, C&A Cleaning handles residential, commercial, and restaurant cleaning services using environmentally friendly cleaning products. When you need it done right, call C&A Cleaning at 514-7738 and set your mind at ease. So thank you to C&A. Thank you to the Downtown Chico Business Association. And most importantly, once again, people, thank you for staying with us. Brad, you got a North State update for us, my friend?
I do.
Yeah, he also just showed us that picture, too, and he looks nothing like Conor McGregor.
Oh, let me see this picture.
All right. He looks nothing like him.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
Quick one, we have a lot going today.
So Chico State women's soccer goes with a tie and a win, and Aaron Woods scores all three goals, tying 1-1 against Cal State LA and winning 2-1 against Cal State Dominguez Hills. Men's soccer ends up going 1-1, losing to Cal State LA 0-1, and beating Cal State Dominguez Hills 2-0.
That's right.
And PV foot, we're going to go into prep football. PV losing to Rancho Cotati 27-35, but a close game throughout. And Rancho Cotati scores a late 2 to take the victory. PV 2-2 in the season.
That's a fun name to say, Rancho Cotati.
Rancho Cotati out of Rohnert Park,
okay,
down Sonoma County. And then they will be playing Red Bluff next at Red Bluff at 7:30 on Friday. And Chico football playing against Sutter, 17-7. Chico wins.
Panther pride.
But there was a little bit of controversy. There was a little bit of filming done on the sidelines from one of their chain gang crews.
Oh.
There was posted out on Twitter from one of the members of Sutter saying they're going to protest the game.
Very belly checking.
I don't think anything's going to happen, but they were apparently doing some play calls. That wasn't me this time.
Nope.
So apparently they were filming some of their play calls. So
interesting.
Anyways, wow. Chico wins 17-7.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
And they'll play Shasta at 7:30 on Friday in Shasta. A little fact of the day on those ties this week for the NFL. There have been 4 times where there have been 2 ties in a season. That's the record in a season for the NFL. But this is the first time it's ever happened in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Wow.
So there's been some back-to-backs, but never in the first 2 weeks.
Let's bring out college overtime.
I agree with that. I like
college
that.
Overtime to the NFL.
I hate college overtime so
what?
Much.
Oh. Okay. How do you hate college overtime?
He's just a hater. Look at me. An absolute
how do you hate college
hater.
Overtime?
I hate it so much.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's got awesome. Ups and downs. It's okay.
It's awesome. It would be horrible for fantasy, though.
Oh, it'd be awful. Because, I mean, you're sitting there 20 yards, but I mean.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're going to get a winner at the end of this.
You get a winner. And you only play for, what, another, like, 15, 20 minutes?
Maybe.
Yep. Not a fan myself. All right. Moving on.
That's our North State update.
All right. Thank you. Stepman and Brad. Now, John, it's your turn to talk. You want to do some look into the future?
Yeah. You want to guess my line?
Not good.
Let's start this. Let's try to do this here.
I'll guess some lines. Give me some matchups.
Cool.
Let me set you up properly.
Wait. Do you actually have something?
No.
Oh.
Ooh, okay, I'll take it.
Numbers on the board, I feel like it's fitting.
Yeah, right, yeah. This is the new segment we're trying to work on here, Luke Into the Futures. It's where I pick my parlays for the week, and we see how we do. This week wasn't as great as last week. Last week, let's go over picks here. Let's start with NFL. Last week, we took LA Chargers -7 against the Bills because the Bills are god-awful. And that panned out. Chargers win 31-20. So we got a nice little W on that one.
By the way, there'll always be the San Diego Chargers to me, but that's neither here nor there.
Right, yeah. Did I just say that?
No.
Oh,
called them correctly.
Okay. The New England Patriots. I took -2 against my better judgment. Apparently the Jags defense is the truth, and they are good. So we lost that one. Jags win 31-20. I took Giants +3. I wasn't sold on the Cowboys. Still am not. I just think the Giants are that bad. Cowboys win 20-13. So we went 1-2 this last week on NFL. Brings my total to 4-2 overall on the season after 2 weeks. Not bad. I'll take it. Moving along to college football. Last week we took Oklahoma minus 17.5 to Iowa State. Iowa State came out and just took it to them. Had an early lead. Oklahoma was able to come back, but not at the at the spread we needed. They won 37-27, resulting in our loss, their win. SMU we took last week against Michigan, who, again, Jim Harbaugh is not my favorite fan. Sorry, Derek, I went against your Michigan Blue.
Bad idea.
I mean, it was plus 35.5, so it wasn't a bad idea. Michigan won, but 45-20.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
My spread panned out. So thank you, Derek.
Good idea.
And then UCF, University of Central Florida, we took minus 14. However, due to Hurricane Florence, we had that game canceled against North Carolina University. So
does that
University
count against you?
No, it doesn't.
It's a push.
It's
right?
it's a push.
Okay, good.
It's a push. So we went 1-1 that week, bringing my overall total to 3-2. All right, so for this week, you guys, this week, let's go here. This is where we're guessing the line.
All right,
bro.
I'm ready. All right.
So this week I have Chicago against the Cardinals. I am taking Chicago. What is the line?
Who's at home?
Chicago is at home. No, excuse me. Cardinals are at home.
I'm going to go Chicago.
I'm sorry. Is your name Jarrell? Are you guessing the line?
6.5.
Oh, we are at minus 4. Minus 4.
What were you going to guess?
I was going to guess 7.
No.
Cardinals are trash, so I could see that spread happening.
I was going to say 3 myself.
But yeah, they have no offense, so we're going to take Chicago this week minus 4. Next, we have the Kansas City Chiefs against your San Francisco 49ers. I am taking Chiefs. What is the spread?
And that is...
Who's home for that one?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs 4.5.
Chiefs are minus 6.
Oh,
seven.
Okay.
Wow.
So, yeah.
All right, let's all just start guessing. All right, yeah. Okay.
So,
we're taking the Chiefs
over that one. Just that offense, man. There's no one that could put up with that offense right now. So,
Tyreek Hill, baby.
That's going to be a huge challenge.
And like I said, I am sticking to my guns from last week. I told everyone out there, Bills. No matter what the spread, you bet against the Bills. Jarrell's not allowed to answer this one because I already told him before the show what this spread was. But Vikings,
I guess pretty close.
Vikings against Bills. I'm taking Vikings, of course. What is the spread?
Who is home on this one?
The Vikings are.
Vikings are home. I'm going to say 10.5.
14.
It is the highest spread in 5 years at 17.5.
Oh, wow.
I guess 16.
And I'm telling you right now, Kirk Cousins really scares me, but the Bills are trash.
I mean, yep. So I'm taking Davis, 70, you know?
I can't believe I'm taking it in the NFL. I'm taking a 17.5 point spread. I'm taking it.
That's
care.
Crazy.
The Bills are that bad.
I'm looking forward to
the Bills
the
are that bad.
I mean, they did come back and cover on would have covered you on the San Diego Chargers.
No, they didn't.
Well, I'm saying they lost by 11, didn't they?
Yeah, but the spread was 7.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but never mind.
Yeah, what you're
they
saying
can come
is
back.
Wrong,
they can, I don't think they're going to be losing by 17.5. That's
all right,
a, that's
we'll
a big
see.
Spread.
We'll see next week. And you're going to be eating crow, Derek.
I don't know why I'm eating crow.
It's a saying, you guys. All right.
Where?
College football. We are going Notre Dame at Wake Forest. Notre Dame is...
Wake Forest. Stupidest name ever. Demon Deacons. What is that?
Okay. Well,
yeah, it really is. And a dumb logo. Yeah.
Minus
that's
7. I am hopping on...
That's a cool
I'm
name,
hopping
Wake
on
Forest.
My boss's bandwagon. He's a big Notre Dame fan. They've proved it the last couple weeks. Blowing out teams, so I'm taking Notre Dame minus 7. Also, a little side note, Wake Forest is a good squad, so I would also I'd also parlay that into the over-under, which is 55, which is really, really small for college. So
yeah.
I would take the over in that. Both teams are high-octane offenses.
High-octane?
High-octane. Derek, don't correct me on language when
are you
bad at pronunciation.
I'm just saying, man, it's tough
out
there.
Are you thinking beachhead already?
It's
all
tough.
Right. Arizona State, we are taking against Washington, who is the 10th ranked team in the country. Washington still is not, I don't know how they're top 10. I don't think they're that great. Arizona is plus 17.5. So I think the 23rd ranked Sun Devils can edge that one out. Maybe not get the win, but I see them losing 7-10 point range right there. So that'll be good for us. Wisconsin lost to BYU this week. Top six team. I see him to bounce back against Iowa -3.5. So we're taking Wisconsin.
Is this looking into the future or looking into the past? Come on, man. Keep it to the future.
Okay, so this is the games that haven't happened yet. So
you said BYU beat Wisconsin. That happened in the past.
Yeah, so if you would listen, they're going to bounce back this week against Iowa -3.5.
Thank you. All right.
And that is Luke into the Futures. Thank you, Derek, for being optimistic.
Thank you, John. Derek, let's get to your news after we get to your sister, because I want to talk about this Triple G Canelo Alvarez fight.
Is that one of your nicknames? Because your face looks like you were in that fight.
Yeah, I was in a fight this weekend. I'm 33 years old, not exactly something I'm proud of, but I got jumped, so what do you want me to do? Anyway.
I want you to put on some Neosporin, because that looks like it's going to scar.
I have been putting on Neosporin. Thank you for your concern. Our LA correspondent now joins us, Aaron. Aaron, are you there?
Hey there, how's it going?
Yes. What's up, Aaron? All right, so you are covering the fight for us. I didn't get to watch it. I was at a wedding, and then I was face planting into the ground. other than that, it was a great fun Saturday. But you got to actually watch the fight?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so there's
We gave her media passes to go there because we're official here, you know.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. She was right next to Stephen A. Smith.
So tell us, there was some controversy at the end there. What was the controversy all about?
I mean, no matter what, I think there's going to be controversies. You know, so Alvarez won with a split decision. Last time they met, which is a year ago, it was a split draw. So, you know, there's just controversy. Alvarez started really strong. He was the aggressor in the beginning, in the first few rounds, and then Gennady decided that he was going to come back, and he looked really strong in the closing rounds, which is exactly what happened in the fight last time. So the fact that, you know, Canelo eked out a win, you know, some people aren't happy about it.
But that was kind of to be expected, was it not?
I mean, if you thought that it wasn't going to be close, you know, you were wrong. And I think one of the reasons people might have thought that Golovkin had it is because in that 10th round, he hit Canelo hard twice, and Canelo stumbled, almost ate it, but he managed to stay on his feet. So I think that leaves a pretty fresh impression on your mind at the end when you hear that, you know, Canelo has won. So yeah. I think that might be why a lot of people were saying that Canelo shouldn't have won.
But these scores are on a round-by-round basis, correct? This is coming from somebody that doesn't really know boxing, but it's like round-by-round basis, so that big punch didn't really turn into anything except for he won that one round.
Correct. Okay. That's right. I think everyone is in consensus that Canelo won round 12, but, you know, everything in between is up for grabs. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a gander and say you probably weren't scoring the round itself, but on your objective opinion, who did you think won the fight? I didn't watch the fight either.
I would say that, Canelo had the early rounds, and I'm not great at, like, scoring round by round either, but, you know, you look back at it, and it could go either way, but I think when Canelo came out strong, he was the aggressor, and then for him to come back, and he resoundingly won round 12, I don't think anyone disputes that. Yeah. So I think I'm okay with Canelo winning, and I think that most people would say they're okay with Canelo winning. It was a close fight.
Now, I got the opportunity to watch round, I believe it was 3 through 8 today, before I came here. And what I saw, and I don't know if this was indicative of the entire fight, but from what I saw, they were in the middle of the ring. They weren't up against the ropes, and they were just trading blows. Like, it was a classic just haymaker after haymaker being thrown. They weren't tying each other up very much at all. Was that kind of how the whole fight went, or was there a little more defense than what I saw?
No, I think there were a lot of punches thrown. Gennady actually landed the most, but Alvarez had landed the most power shots. So,
gotcha.
You know, which one do you think is better? You know, it's up for debate.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we appreciate it. Anyone else?
Honestly, that gave me the update I needed. Yeah. So thank you.
Also, this is the real update, I think. No one came away from this fight a loser. It's estimated that Canelo won $50 million and Triple G walked away with $33
million. Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's a good day.
That's horrible.
Are we in, awesome. Are we going to see a third fight between these two?
Absolutely. 100%. There's no way there won't be a third fight.
I mean, this is really the only name.
What?
I was saying, these are really the only names in boxing at this point in time.
Well, Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder are fighting for the heavyweight title here next month, and that's
going to be a big one.
That's one I am going to – I will buy that one.
Mayweather-Pacquiao.
I was just about to say that. That's just came out.
The fight that no one wants to watch.
Exactly. It wasn't a good fight when it happened 6 years ago. I don't know why anyone
thinks
would think
it's
going to
be any better now.
Because that one was 6 years too late. This is going to be 12 years too late.
Aaron, thanks as always for being the best part of our show. We will talk to you next week. Thank you, homie.
Anytime. Talk to you later. Bye.
Later. Bye. Always the best part of our show. Always informative. I'm glad we have your sister on the show now.
She's on it, yeah.
Yeah, she really is on top of it. I'm definitely going to, if not tonight, tomorrow when I have some time, sit down and watch the rest of that fight. I do really enjoy boxing, and I was really hoping to watch that fight. I was watching a little bit of it on my boy's phone. We're illegally streaming it at a wedding, so it was not the best quality. But I really enjoy boxing, so I'm definitely going to watch that. Derek, you want to hit us with some news?
Let's do it.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Some time for some news. I've missed this segment. I've had so many stories in my backlog. I had to really narrow it down to three.
All right. These might actually be
good.
Yeah. We got some good ones in here.
Really grotesque.
I never do anything that's not interesting, I feel. Come on. They entertain the people. Fine. For those of you out there that are video game fanatics, in particular that crack called Fortnite.
No, never played it.
Yeah. Neither have I, but apparently it has swept the nation. And is not just our nation, the UK nation as well.
Oh, gosh.
And that sweeping of the nation has caused a little bit of a rift, particularly in marriages.
Oh, that's right. I've heard about this one.
Roughly 200 reports filed in 2018 alone. Fortnite has been one of the issues involved in the separation. 200 cases of divorce where Fortnite is involved in them getting separated. This is what's happening to us now. That crack called Fortnite. Get off it, y'all. It's not good for you. It's not good for you. And your marriage, apparently. That's just the UK alone.
Oh, I bet it's worse in America.
I'm going to say there's got to be something that happened in America. Wasn't able to get those stats.
Or they just don't get to marriage.
Right? You probably don't. Yeah. Here's a good one for you. For those of you fans of romance novelists and read those types of books, you'll be happy to know that a woman who wrote an essay called How to Murder Your Husband actually tried to murder her husband. That is right. Crampton Brophy. Yes, that is her name. Crampton Brophy. Apparently used a 9mm pistol and intentionally killed her husband, Daniel Brophy, of 27 years.
Bro.
Good old Crampton is a romance novelist. Like I said, he was published that essay, How to Murder Your Husband. She was currently in court now, or in custody, awaiting trial. She has pled not guilty to the charges, though. Because apparently she still thinks she can get away with it. She wrote an essay, guys. She's a pro. So watch out for Crampton, y'all. She might get you. For those of you, this is my last one, y'all. This one I saw, and I had to do it. Flamin' Hot Cheetos. I don't know if you're a fan of that. That's another form of crack out there. Apparently there's a restaurant coming to L.A. that will feature Flamin' Hot Cheetos all over it. That is right. They will have Flamin' Hot Cheeto wings, Flamin' Hot Cheeto burritos, Flamin' Hot Cheeto desserts. It's ridiculous. If you love Flamin' Hot Cheetos, head to L.A. There's no pop-up shop.
I'm jealous of the food scene down there, man.
It is. It's spectacular.
I mean, y'all can't make pizza down there, but other than that,
we got everything else.
Yes.
You have to be on the East Coast to make pizza. That's right here.
I heard Vito's down in L.A. is really good, but that's the only place that I've heard of.
I've never been to Vito's, but I'm sure they can make a decent slice. As long as you got good sauce, you're good with me. So Flame Hot Cheetos in L.A. Check it out, y'all. And that's my news.
Appreciate it. That was a triumphant return to the news. Let's do a whirlwind kind of recap of some quick stuff before we get into Foot and Mouth and end the show. Actually, I think we pretty much hit everything. Oh, no, we got to talk about the Longhorns.
What?
The Longhorns. The University of Texas Longhorns put a beat down on what number? Where was USC ranked?
22, I believe.
Yeah.
I thought they were 17.
17. They're 22 now.
Yeah. Yes, that's correct. Okay. At home in Austin.
Oh.
That was awesome to witness. I was really stoked about it.
It was the Rose Bowl rematch, yeah. Pretty much.
Is this the first time they played since?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's been that long.
And UT had a really rough start to the season. Once again this year, under Tom Herman, the Longhorns lose to Maryland to start the season. Two seasons in a row. So to just 2 weeks later come back and beat USC was a big win for the Longhorns. I don't know what the hell is going on with the Pac-12. Just a couple years ago, the top of the Pac-12 rivaled the top of the SEC, and I think you could even make the argument circa 2014, 13, 12, in that era. You could make the argument that the Pac-12 on the top end might have even been a little better than the SEC. You can't make that argument anymore.
No. Who was in the top end for the Pac-12 back then? You had Oregon.
USC.
USC. Stanford.
Stanford was beastly with Harbaugh and the Luck days.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, other than that, though.
That I'd said the top end.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, like, I don't think they could have beaten Alabama. I mean,
none of them did.
We're not going to get into
that's
that.
That's the thing.
Let's not forget,
I mean, the SEC is clearly the better division, but the SEC is by no way, shape, or form
all around better.
As good as it's been. I mean, we've seen last week Arkansas lost to North Texas 37-10.
Yeah.
Like, got blown out by a Sacramento State-type team.
Might as well have been Abilene over there. Jeez.
I'm just saying. Like,
just Abilene, by the way. That's where Amy's brother went.
And correction, Derek. USC was ranked 22 last week, and they are currently unranked now.
Oh, wow.
Well, good on them.
So...
So shouts to all my UT friends. I had
UCLA
a lot of...
under Chip Kelly. You thought that was going to kind of be a resurgence for the Pac-12 with Chip Kelly coming back. They are 0-3.
Yeah, that's
they
a
are
shock.
0-3.
It's been awful.
We're going to see this week coming up with Stanford, Oregon. We're going to see kind of those are the two, I feel like, front runners for the Pac-12. We'll see which team is the better one this week. But
is Washington doing anything?
Yeah, they're doing
Washington's
pretty well.
10. They lost to Auburn to start the season,
which
was a good loss. I mean, they lost by three. It was a hard-fought battle the entire time.
Yeah, if you're going to lose early in college football.
But I don't know if you guys saw the Utah game last week that Washington played. I mean, they won that game, but it was ugly. I mean, they cannot play against top-tier talent and expect to win this year. I don't think they have it.
Well, they're tied for 10th in the rankings right now with Penn State. So, I mean, we'll see what they can do the rest of the year. Possibly if they win the Pac-12, they might actually make it top four again.
And conference play is about to start, right, for most of college football
usually,
now?
Yeah, usually week three, week four starts conference play.
So now,
unless
now
you're Alabama and you play Cathedral or Citadel.
It's unbelievable the teams that Alabama has lined
week
up.
Of your
I really wish we would get rid of that in college football and stop.
I mean, Alabama plays Ole Miss last week, who is a big rival going into Mississippi to play that game, and they beat them 59-7.
And I understand that it's a big payday for these small schools to go and get their doors blown off at a lot of these bigger colleges. And you would never have the Appalachian State game if not for these games. So I understand it to that point, but I think by week three, like, no more cupcakes, you know?
Yeah,
I agree. Especially before your big game, your big rivalry game.
Not only that, but Alabama schedules the weakest of the SEC year in and year out. You know, you see them play maybe an Auburn or an LSU once in a season.
Because you have to.
But no, not LSU. LSU's in the East.
But it's a rival game, so you kind of usually have to play.
Alabama and Auburn don't play every single year,
unless it's the Iron Bowl.
It's the Iron Bowl every
year. LSU and Alabama?
You said Auburn.
Oh, I'm sorry.
LSU and Alabama do not play
in different divisions.
You're correct.
You are
correct on that one.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. Even the Texas A&Ms are in the different division. I mean, you have The top-tier teams in the SEC do not play Alabama year in and year out. That's all I'm saying.
That's I'm correct.
Fine. We're fine with that.
Yep.
I'm not agree.
Let's move on, if we could.
Someone beat Alabama.
And Brad, this is going to surprise you. I want to talk some baseball, if we could, real quick.
Yeah, I was shocked to see on the lineup.
The playoffs are just around the corner. We have about, most teams have about 15 games or so left in the regular season. This has been a tough year for Giants fans once again. But hey,
we're staying.
We're not the Padres, so
we almost stay close to 500. If we didn't have that 10-game, 11-game skid, like we did well. We did well.
We didn't have that 10 or 11.
Here's the thing.
Yeah. You know that time where you just stuck really bad.
If you guys make
really
fun
bad,
of me 13 or 14 more times, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Other than that, they have been solid this season.
Well, they've been doing exactly what they've been supposed to be doing: is get to 500 ball, and that's it.
They're supposed to be winning, Brad.
Well,
that's
they're not.
Your, that's
they were
your goal
never
of any
expected
team.
To. They were like the Padres. They're not expected to win. Just stay 500. And you have a good season.
I'm glad you like those expectations.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to win a World Series, so let's be real.
I
mean,
I still have a chance. I'm still in the race.
Yeah. Really quick, let's talk about this race in the NL West that involves your Los Angeles Dodgers, Derek. The Rockies currently have a half-game lead. Arizona is almost all but out of it at 4.5 back. So that's going to be interesting how that shapes up. Who do you guys have coming out of the NL? I mean, it's hard to say because baseball is by far the most random when it comes to playoffs. Major League Baseball and NHL are all very random when it comes to playoffs. All you got to do is get hot. You can ask the Giants, who made it in 2010 on the last day of the season, went off to win. And pretty much every time they won, they were not favored in just about any of their matchups and ended up winning. All you need to do is get hot. Your pitchers need to come alive. Some bats need to come alive. So I know it's hard to say, but if you guys had to guess real quick, and then we're going to move to foot and mouth. If you guys had to take someone out of the NL West, is it Rockies or were you going Dodgers?
We'll know in the next 3 days. Dodgers versus Rockies is going on right now.
Honestly, I'm going Arizona.
Yeah, I was actually going to say exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
Arizona's 4.5 back.
Their schedule's a little favorable.
I don't know. Arizona has, LA's bullpen, let's be honest, is not
garbage.
What it's been in the last few years.
It's trash.
And you can never rely on Rockies pitching ever. It's always been Rockies offense. I think Arizona has the better of both. I think they have a solid hitting lineup and pitching to back it up. So
the Dodgers starters are far superior than all three of those.
Not in the playoffs.
Well, I'm saying we're not in the playoffs right now. We're in the regular season still. So we're talking about to get in the playoffs.
Okay.
And our starting pitcher is still... starting rotation is still better than Colorado and Arizona, so and our offense. I feel granted, Colorado's offense is unheralded, but
and so is Arizona's.
Not as good as the Dodgers right now. The Dodgers are, especially with the way that Yasiel Puig has been hitting the ball. Like he had monster series against St. Louis.
Yeah, that's true.
So and
we'll see.
Machado. It's a fun race. It's actually entertaining.
It actually is. Now. And the Red Sox are unbelievable this year. That team that they have put together. It's ridiculous. They already have 103 wins. The best record in the Red Sox franchise history for wins is 105. They should eclipse that easily. And they have a plus 221 run differential, which is incredibly impressive until you look at the team that's right behind them in the Houston Astros as a plus 247 run differential, which is just...
I'm looking at the division with Boston, New York, Tampa Bay, Toronto, and Baltimore.
Yes.
It's hilarious looking at Baltimore. They are 60 games back.
Yeah.
I have never seen that in baseball ever.
Tough times. But we will definitely talk a lot more baseball with playoffs coming up around the corner.
Hunt for October.
I love October. I actually absolutely love playoff baseball. Even when my team's not in it, I actually root for the Dodgers to get in so I can root against them when they get in there and root for Derek's heartbreak. Even though last year was really close to wanting to see Derek happy, and then once Game 7 happened, I was actually really happy to see Derek sad. So.
Thank you.
What a true friend right there.
Yeah. I almost rooted for the Dodgers, but then I couldn't do it.
We could look to the A's. We could look to the A's.
We have about a minute and a half left to show. Can you knock out a foot and mouth?
Yeah.
And now it's time we take a deep dive. Let's skip the intro.
Yeah, let's just do it. Foot and mouth, y'all. That's like the entire minute and a half.
Yeah, that's true.
It was a big time in the world of football as the Champions League.
Champions League!
It returns tomorrow, guys. Big matchup. We got big matchups all around. PSG versus
PSG
Liverpool.
Is so big that you got your shift covered.
I did. I got my shift covered for work so I can watch this game. Fantastic.
Our squads go head-to-head.
Yeah, I don't have
class. We should place a little wager on it.
I mean, we
on-call
might as well.
Push-ups.
Yeah, I'm down. Let's do it.
Okay. We got PSG is going to Anfield to play tomorrow. Great matchup there. This Champions League has got some great matchups coming up. We got not yet, but you're going to see Ronaldo return to Old Trafford as he takes on Juventus and Man
U. Which he got his first goal?